Well, I've hinted we're going to be in Matthew chapter 2. Christmas is past, I know. It's gone. But the story of Jesus continues in Scripture. It doesn't stop just with his birth. That's not the last thing that we hear. The next big event is often included in the depictions of Jesus. And in fact, in our nativity right here, you'll see it. You'll see these three. They kind of look like kings, right? They're wise men. I slip sometimes and say wise guys. I shouldn't, but they're wise men. They're magi. We don't think that they were kings, but they might have been. There's a number of things that we just don't know. And one of the reasons, in case you're wondering, why do we include these in the nativity? Well, because the story tells us that, you know, the angel came to Joseph. That's in chapter 1. And at the very end, it says Joseph took Mary as his wife, right? And he didn't have any he didn't lay with her until Jesus was born. And so then the next thing, it starts talking about wise men coming. And so it's almost as if it happened immediately. But there are some clues in the story that tell us that it probably didn't happen immediately. And I was watching the song we were singing this morning, and I realized that song did the same thing. But that's okay. It's a song, poetic license, right? Only Matthew, he's the only gospel author who reports this visit of the wise men, the magi from the east. And so that's kind of interesting. I don't know why the others didn't. Luke's the only other one that, of the four Gospels, Matthew and Luke are the only ones that actually talk about the birth of Jesus anyway, in any way. So I'm sure there are good reasons for it. And one day we'll get to sit down with Matthew and find out why, won't we? Let's read the first two verses of Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him." Now your Bible might say, "Or we have come to pay homage to him." It's kind of the same thing. They've come to worship him. Now, there's some scary things that happen here. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Just so you know who the wise men were, they were also known as magi. That's a really fancy term for Oriental astrologers. Now, they're not the people that looked at the zodiac and all that. These were people who actually studied the sky, and they were looking for the stars and hoping that the stars would help them understand the times. Now, I'm just going to be real quick to say, if you're looking at the zodiac to understand something of yourself or something of what's going to happen today, stop it. Okay? You're not going to learn. You're just not. You're not going to learn what you need to learn. Don't look to the stars for that kind of stuff. It's kind of cool to look at the stars for seasons because they do move and they do help us understand the seasons. So there's nothing wrong with looking at the stars and studying them. I've done that myself over the years. But don't look to them for trying to figure out the future and all that stuff. Just stop that. Okay. The Magi were originally a religious class in the country known as Media and also the Persian Empire. But this word Magi actually came to describe any student of astrology and what it called lore or stories. People tell stories of their culture, that sort of thing. Now, even though they were Gentiles, God called them to go to Bethlehem to worship, to pay homage to the newborn king. We don't know how many magi there were. Yeah, I know, it always says three, right? There's a reason why, right? Because there were, what, three gifts, correct? But we really don't know how many. There may have been more. We don't know exactly what country they came from. We just know they kind of came from the east of Bethlehem and made their way over. We're not sure exactly which one. And just so you know, we don't know their names. We have a lot of traditions. I think Balthazar was one of the names, if I remember from way back in the deep memory of my brain there somewhere. But we don't know the names. It's not in the Bible, so I'm always kind of hesitant to jump out there and grab tradition. We also don't have a specific time frame after the birth of Jesus for when the Magi arrived, but based on the report of Matthew, it is my belief that he was probably between 1 and 2 years old. And there's a couple of reasons for it. We'll talk about that in a little bit. It's the use of the word child, and it's also the fact that they showed up at a house instead of a stable. Just saying. The arrival of the wise men in Jerusalem no doubt caused a stir among the people of Jerusalem. They show up. They probably came in with a bit of a caravan because they got to carry their supplies wherever they go. They didn't have a Walmart in Bethlehem. It was too small of a city. And so they had to bring their own stuff with them, okay? They ask a question of this newborn. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? That would cause a stir in the people of Bethlehem because, remember, they had a king. His name was Herod. And you can imagine that Herod would have been informed immediately of the arrival of these guys in the town and the question that they were asking. Now, Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, right here. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him or pay homage to him. These are the only words that are directly quoted of the Magi in our Gospels. Okay? It's the only thing we hear of them. Now, we hear about things that they did and said, but those are the only ones that are a direct quote of what he said. Now, these wise men describe the leader they're looking for as the king of the Jews and ask, where has he been born? Where was he born? Where is he? We know he was born, but we just don't know where. Now, so they had connection with something. They had copies of scripture. They had other papers or other documents that apparently they knew that he was about to be born. They recognized and understood a little bit of this Messiah who was coming. And somehow the star gave them a further indication that they were supposed to go and seek him out. They asked for the location of this one who has been born king of the Jews. And they're talking about who he is, not what he's going to be or who he's going to be, who he is now. He was born king. All right? So keep that in mind. Now, they reported seeing a star. See that? We saw his star in writing. I love the way they call it his star, which I would love to see that. I've read so many different things about what this star was. They claim it, they saw it at its rising, and I know some translations say we saw his star in the east, and I know it says that, and there's argument about the Greek and so forth. You know what I think is fascinating is they said it was his star. How did they know that? Okay. Maybe we'll get to ask them too. Maybe we'll get to meet the Magi one day. What do you think? We're going to have eternity. We're going to get to talk to a lot of people, okay? This supernatural event would cause a stir in Jerusalem, and them declaring that, it would be reported to King Herod as well. I read a bunch of explanations to explain the star. I did a study on this a long time ago, but I did some more research last week just because I was curious. A conjunction of planets. You know how planets are in the sky and they look like stars sometimes and they come together. And there was a conjunction of planets that came together and that made this big star. Yeah, that star that focused right on Bethlehem. Yeah, that's it. That's what caused it. Or maybe it was a supernova that exploded. And again, put that star right over Bethlehem, right over the house where Jesus was living. Or maybe it was a comet. Like Halley's Comet, right? That came and showed and star right over where Jesus was. None of that rings true, folks. None of that fits at all. It just, for me, it doesn't fit. None of it fits. People would have looked at that and just said, wow, that's a comet. These are folks who didn't have television, didn't have radio, didn't have movies, didn't have internet, didn't have streaming, didn't have Netflix, didn't have any of that stuff. And so they spent a lot of time looking at the sky or sleeping at night, one or the other, because they had, you know, work to do during the day. And so if they were looking at the sky, they would be pretty familiar with what was there and what wasn't there. And if they saw a comet, they knew what it was. They recognized it. They weren't. Illiterate. I mean, they might couldn't read, but they weren't ignorant of the ways of the sky, if that makes sense. And so a new star that showed up there they would have probably seen it already. And then when these guys show up and said, we saw his star at its rising, you know, I wonder if those people said, they saw it when it first appeared. And they knew where it was probably, they probably knew where it was pointing. What we know for sure is that the Magi reported this phenomenon, this astronomical phenomenon that they were able to link to a particular king, the king of the Jews. And while they didn't explain it, and while not explaining this, they didn't explain what they were talking about, it was enough to frighten King Herod. King Herod was a guy who, we're going to talk about him in a moment or two here. It was enough to know that these wise men had come to worship this new king, and I know King Herod was not happy about that at all. All right, let's read verses 3 through 6 here, chapter 2. When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed. I'm going to pause for a moment and say it's kind of interesting that he became deeply disturbed. He was already a deeply disturbed individual when this happened, but he became even more disturbed. Let me put it that way. Can I say it that way? I'll explain why here in a few minutes. And all Jerusalem was deeply disturbed with him, is the problem. They were all in turmoil over this because they knew the political ramifications of this. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them where the Messiah would be born. He's a king over the Jewish people, and he doesn't know the scriptures well enough. He has to call the chief priests and scribes. In Bethlehem of Judea, they told him, because this is what was written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. The title declared by the wise men raised some suspicion for Herod because he feared anyone who might threaten his throne. This guy was a ruthless monster. I hate to use that word of a person, but you might not know this, but he was a guy who even killed his own children to protect his throne. He was afraid that they would try to usurp him, and so he just killed them. He had them killed. He had 9, or some records indicate as many as 10 wives, so he probably had a bunch of kids as well, and was known, widely known, for his treachery and lust. Those are in Roman records, okay? We have that. Herod was also an Edomite with a natural hatred for the Jews. You might have heard that, Edomite word before, because they had a little altercation during the back when the Jews were in their Exodus times. And because he didn't know God's word, he had to ask the chief priests and scribes. Now, the scribes knew the word and were able to tell him about it, but to me, it's kind of interesting, it's fascinating, they didn't act on it. If you heard and knew that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem, and now there's some people coming and saying the king of the Jews has been born, and there's a star pointing it out, wouldn't you want to go investigate? I don't know about you, but I would. I would be kind of interested. I would just say, okay, you know what? I got to go. Hook up the car and let's go. The wise men were both hearers and doers of the word, on the other hand. These priests were so close to discovering the long-awaited Messiah, and yet they wouldn't go to Bethlehem and see him. Some of it might have been fear of Herod. Some of it might have just been laziness. Some of it was probably a lack of faith. They just didn't believe that the star really was how, because they, you know, that doesn't say anything about a star. It talks about Bethlehem. But if that's where they thought he was going to be born, and these guys came and started talking about it, it just seems like you'd want to go and find out. It's also interesting. This is something I got from Warren Wiersbe, and you know I like him. I love him. The visit of the Magi indicates that Gentiles will someday worship the king when the kingdom is set up on earth. And that's kind of, he just points that out, that he thinks that that's part of the reason why this story is preserved for us. We should also note that the wise men present a really good lesson for finding the will of God. So the first thing they did is they followed the light that God gave them, the star that rose in the east, right? Okay, they saw the star rising, and so they followed this light. Second thing that they did is they confirmed their steps by the word of God. Again, they had some kind of access to scripture, to Old Testament at least documents and other documents, and they used that to confirm what they're supposed to do. And thirdly, they obeyed God apparently without question. I can't imagine leaving a country and going, following a star of God. It just would be difficult to imagine that, and that's what they did. They went to another country where that wasn't their home country. Bethlehem, Judea, that was not their home country. Even if we don't know where, we know it was somewhere in the east, and they had to travel a bit to get there. But they followed him, and he led them every step of the way. Okay? He puts the star right over the house where Jesus was. All right, one last note about verse 6, by the way, that was, in most translations I looked at, verse 6 suddenly goes into this like poetic, it looks like poetry. Well, that's because it's quoting from the Old Testament, and in this case it's quoting, he's paraphrasing actually, Micah 5, 2, verse 2. And he's doing it to help his readers understand the sense of that verse. If you remember, we read it this morning. The prophet Micah pointed out that Bethlehem was small among the clans of Judah, which makes its importance as the home of the ruler even more significant, more important to us. Matthew emphasizes the importance of Bethlehem by calling the town by no means least among the rulers of Judah. He also concludes the verse by going back to 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 2, and quotes that at the end. Bethlehem, listen, was recognized as the hometown of the coming Messiah. So Bethlehem was an important city to the Jewish people. It's always been fascinating to me how God bypassed Jerusalem, home of the temple, home of the high priest and all of that stuff. He just went right past Jerusalem. He didn't bring the Messiah there. Instead, he chose a very humble city, Bethlehem, as the birthplace not only of King David, but of Jesus Christ, who is the son of David, according to Matthew 1:1. If you go back and look at that. Now let's go to chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Let's take a look at those. Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. Secretly summoned them. Do you see that? Because he's kind of afraid of the search for this new king. He doesn't want word to get out that he's actually concerned about it. He has to show face to the world, and so he brings them in secretly. Verse 8, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, report back to me so that I too can go and worship him." Yeah, that was my impression too. Yeah, right. We already know of his ruthless nature. We already know something about him. And so I think he asked for the exact time, though. He did that in order to know the age of this new king of the Jews. Did he need to worry about them right now? Well, apparently he did, because a little bit later he has children 2 and under killed all in that area because he's trying to make sure he got the right one. He also shared information that the priests and scribes had given him. He gave that information to the Magi to help them out in their search. And he encouraged them then to go to Bethlehem. And he says, "Hey, listen, when you find this baby, come back and let me know, because I want to go and worship him." And you know what? I think it's interesting because there's no indication that the Magi rolled their eyes at him or felt like they didn't believe him. It sounded truthful. They believed him. They thought, well, he's sincere. He really wants to do this. Now, the word for child in this particular passage may be used of children of various ages. Mostly it's used of young children, toddlers in general. And it also, to me, it seems kind of surprising. You know what else is surprising about this? Not only the priest didn't go, but Herod didn't send anybody. He didn't assign anybody to go with the Magi and kind of escort them. Think about it for a moment. Soldiers probably wouldn't be appropriate. That'd scare everybody to death in Bethlehem, wouldn't it? Herod's soldiers showing up. And if anyone was known to be one of Herod's men, one of his advisors or counselors or something, I don't know if that would go very well either, because Bethlehem people there probably wouldn't be real excited about talking to him. And so I don't think he had any thinking in his mind. I don't think he had any reason to believe the Magi wouldn't come back. He really thought they would. He's a king. He gave an order. They're supposed to follow it, right? Except that he's not their king, but maybe he forgot. Okay, verse 9 through 12. Let's read the rest of this. After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star they had seen at its rising. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. So there's a hint here that maybe the star either disappeared or kind of went quiet, went dormant or something. Maybe God turned it off for a little bit while he was in Jerusalem, and now they're going to the right place. God turns it on again so that they can see. I mean, there's a hint of that, because now they're overwhelmed with joy. It's almost like we thought we didn't see it, but now we do, and now we know where to go, and I love it. Entering the house, notice it's not a stable, it's a house. They saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. So now they have this new information. They have the king's blessing, King Herod's blessing for the area. He's the king of that area. The wise men set out for Bethlehem. They see the star again. They recognize it as being the one they had been watching before. And again, we still don't know how the star led them or how it appeared or stopped above one place on earth. We just don't have all that information. All I know is God said so. It happened. I'm going to take it that way. Okay? Maybe we'll see it someday. Who knows? All I know is Matthew is reporting that the star kept ahead of the Magi until it came to the place where the child was. And again, however it worked, just remember that the wise men were overwhelmed with joy. Again, to me, it's a hint that they lost sight of it and suddenly it's there. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had that happen to you where you lose sight of what God has for you, and all of a sudden, poof, he makes it absolutely obvious, and you just... there's an overwhelming of joy there. I mean, it just is a sense of joy and excitement, because now you know you're going in the right direction. And I love that. Now, the Magi entered the house, and they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And I almost have this picture, and I know I shouldn't, but I just do. I have this picture of Jesus being like 1 or 2, maybe 1.5 years old. And little ones like that, they're toddlers, they're toddling, they're maybe walking. He might have been walking. And I can almost picture him standing behind Mary and looking out. Who are these guys? Now, I know that may not go with your picture of Jesus being, you know, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. But he was a child. He was born as a human baby. He was fully human. He was a child. A child's reaction is not usually real bold, okay? Usually they're kind of looking around mom to see if it's okay. And once they realized it was okay, then maybe he came out. I don't know. I can't wait to find out and get the confirmation of what happened. It's going to be exciting. I think the key thing of the story, of course, is that the wise men see him and they fell to their knees. It's interesting, it says they fell to the knees and they worshiped him. Now, I'm not going to demonstrate it, because if I try, I won't be able to get back up. But they fell to their knees, okay, and worship, the very word worship means that they bowed their head to the ground before him. Okay? That's what that's saying. They worshiped him. They recognized that he deserved their worship. And then they opened their treasure. Then they opened up and gave him what they were going to give him. Now, Matthew names 3 gifts: gold, frankincense, which, by the way, frankincense, for those of you might not know or have forgotten, it's a white resinous gum that's obtained from several kinds of a certain tree in Arabia, and it's used for medicinal purposes and sometimes for cultic purposes, and so meaning worship for other places. And so that's why it was given. And myrrh, which is another resinous gum of a different bush for similar uses. All three gifts were valuable. All three gifts were magnificent. Just magnificent gift, suitable for a king. Now, I know that Christians have often seen symbolic meanings in these gifts. Gold for royalty, frankincense for deities, the most common, and myrrh pointing to suffering and death. And I've seen those, and okay. The only thing I know is Matthew didn't say anything about that. And again, I try to stick with Scripture as much as possible if I'm going to make definite statements. But I'm not going to deny this because it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? The other thing I know is that scholars have suggested that this gift of gold would allow the family to live well safely enough when they had to leave and go to Egypt. Because if you read a little bit further, you'll find out that that's what they had to do. They had to leave and go to Egypt because King Herod was ordering the killing of all the children two and under. And so I think that the frankincense and myrrh were used for medicinal purposes. The other thing is because of their value, they could actually be traded for other things if necessary as well. And so the true importance of these gifts, I think, is simply that they were offerings to a king, gifts for the King of Kings. The wise men, of course, were warned in a dream to avoid reporting back to Herod. The word warned in the New Testament particularly is usually an indication of a divine utterance. In other words, the Lord is giving warning. It says they were given a warning in a dream. And I think the way it's written is it was suggesting that it wasn't just one of them that had the dream and had the warning. All three of them did, okay? Or all the various magi. They all had the same warning. And that must have been interesting. What do you think? They wake up. They've been following the star. They see the king, and now they sleep, evidently, because they had a dream, right? And they get a warning. Don't go back to Herod. It's not safe. Don't do that. And so they all wake up, and do you think they discussed it? Well, I had this dream last night. I did, too. What was yours? Well, something about don't go back to Herod. Yeah, me too. You can just imagine. I don't know how they said it. I'm just making that up. The bottom line is, they don't give a reason. It just says, don't go back to Herod. But because we know that Herod was not a reliable person and he was quite bloodthirsty, we know that it was probably not safe. And it's also possible that more was said to the Magi than what Matthew records. All he has is they were warned not to go back to Herod. Maybe God gave them some more information about things. All we know is that the Magi were obedient. And they went home by a different route. That's what it says. Warren Wiersbe again says that anyone who comes to Christ will go home another way and be a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is where I'm getting that from. And I just love that. And that's the invitation this morning, is to come to Christ and go home another way. See, you're not going to take a different route to get to your house. Maybe that's not what you're going to do, but you're going to go home a different person, a new creation, if you come to Christ for the first time. I guarantee it. I guarantee it because that's what God said. That's His word.